Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Text 710 writes on the healthcare text line, the Florida Today digital edition had the article about Kraft and photos with names, addresses, and date of birth for those arrested. You know, if that's true, that's from Bill in Clemson. If that's true, then why do we not know? And I'm sure that you're right. I mean, I'm not questioning what you're telling me, Bill, just to be clear. But why don't we know the name of the allegedly bigger name yet? I mean, we should know then, shouldn't we already? The name of the bigger name? I mean, right? Now, somebody sent me, Ryan sent me the list. Oh, there are names. There are names on this list. Robert Kraft, 6541. So who's the bigger name? Or was Schefter and others just wrong regarding there being a bigger name? Maybe the bigger name is not from the world of sports.
The bigger name got his name removed from the list.
See, that may be. It may be that the bigger name's name is removed because he is the bigger name.
Exactly.
We're going to have to go with that because, I mean, just a quick glance, a cursory look at this list. I don't see a bigger name on it. I don't see a bigger name on it. Just a quick look. Unfortunately, none of the names we had hoped for are on the list, Ramona.
No.
Very disappointing.
None of those.
Very disappointing. Paul and Henry. Paul, how are you?
Just fine, Walt. I know what that is. That's the liberal media going to make you think it's President Trump. That's probably what that's going. That's what you're going to hear next.
Well, you never know.
Hey, I'll tell you what. If I'm 77, almost 80 years old, I hope I'm not saying I'm going to be in a massage parlor, but my God, the man's almost 80 years old.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's so fascinating about it.
Yeah.
I can see if he might be in his 50s or something. He's 80 years old.
Wow.
Brady wasn't with him, was he?
No. Maybe, maybe Kraft actually just went in for the relaxation and the massage.
Yeah, sure. But I think that's the liberal media just putting something out there, getting, you know, next you're going to hear President Trump was in there with him. So anyway.
He's not on the list either.
Yeah, I know. That's why they say it's the bigger name. They planting that to make you think it's the president.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, you're talking about, you know, I'm going to tell you how I feel about this basketball team. You know, I have before when we didn't discuss this. I think if this team makes the tournament, it's about like a football team making a six and six bowl game. That's just the way I feel. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to. I just can't get on board. I'm like I told you. I hope I'm wrong.
Wait a minute. Here's the thing. Half the teams in the country make bowl games. Half the teams in the country don't make the NCAA tournament in basketball. I mean, is the history of Clemson basketball making the NCAA tournament? I mean, so we're to the point where if Brownell makes the NCAA tournament in consecutive years without cheating, that's not something to be applauded?
Every good team we play, we get beat. I mean, we haven't really beat anybody.
No offense, but, you know, a lot of the good teams we learned in the NCAA investigation are not actually competing fairly.
Well, I can see that point. I always don't ever put that in consideration, but you got a point there. I mean, at least he's doing it the right way, but that's just how I feel about that team. I can't get on board. Like I said, I hope you're wrong and they go to the final eight or whatever, but I just don't see it. I mean, they got to win out. Like you said, if they might can lose another one, but if they can beat North Carolina or Syracuse or one of those, I think that might put them in. But, you know, I've been in Columbia the last couple of days, and the guys down there on Sports Talk don't even think Carolina's going to make the NIT because, you know, they're barely above 500. And, I mean, I'm just listening to Sports Talk down there. They don't even think they're going to make the NIT because they're barely hovering over. Unless they go on they'd have to win out.
They're 9-4 in the SEC, and the SEC is a vastly improved league.
Yeah, they brought that up, but I'm just telling you what they're saying down there. You know,
well, the NCAA, they're still very much alive for the NCAA. You just have to keep winning. What you have to understand is that there are 68 teams that they have to put in. They have to find 68 teams. And when you get down to the end.
You kind of hope they do.
When you get down to the
end. Kind of, as a Clemson fan, hate to say it, you kind of hope they do keep winning because that, you know, that'll make that victory back in December look a little bit better.
Yeah, to a degree, as long as they don't win enough to jump over Clemson.
Right, yeah.
But
I'm thinking
in the net rankings.
The thing I keep hearing, well, we one shot away or this, it reminds me of the Tommy Bowden that you used to tell me all the time. Well, we one play away, you know, I'm just hearing that so many times now. We one play away. I mean, you know, in which they have been snake bit, and no doubt about that, but maybe you can talk me off the ledge. You did it with Tommy Bowden.
Again, look, Paul, look, generally luck balances out to some degree. Unfortunately for this team, they have had no balance to the luck. Luck has been involved in the endings of three or four games, and every single one of them went against them. I mean, and a series of things that could never happen again. That's not about coaching. I mean, you can't blame Brad Brunell for Marquise Reed missing four straight free throws, 85% free throw shooter missing four straight free throws at the end of the NC State game. You know, you can't.
What gets me about this team, though? They'll score 23 in the first half, but come on, you know, and play pretty tough in the second half. If they could ever get that first half down instead of scoring 23 and score about 40, it might be different. But that's the only thing that kind of bothers me about it. They come out, but they'll play their hearts out, though, in the second half.
Well, look,
they do play great defense.
And they've played hard all year. And at times, the ball doesn't go in for this team. They are missing a shooter. The other night, I thought they were missing a power forward, and so in some ways they've been perhaps a player short. But again, any of those games, I mean, it defies the law of average to think that all those games were going to go against them, but they did. It's just the way it works. You know, you've heard me say a million times, even in football, you don't have a championship season without a degree of luck. Luck is you don't win the national title. You could be the greatest coach team in the world. You can have the best players. But if you don't have some luck, you don't win a national championship. And in this team's case, they have not had any good fortune. Now, again, there's still games to be played. I think they'll take care of business against BC, Pittsburgh, and Notre Dame. And then it comes down, in my mind, to do you beat Syracuse? And if you beat Syracuse, then I think you're in.
Maybe another week or so, your therapy here, maybe you'll get me off the ledge. You know, you're making some good points there. But, you know, and you brought a good point up the other night. I was impressed in North Carolina how they pushed the ball down the court. I mean, it was just amazing. But don't you think, didn't they still have four McDonald All-Americans on the court?
Yeah,
Carolina only had two. Don't you feel like that they should? I heard Zeke talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, shouldn't they competed better?
Yeah, look, I'm the last person who is going to make apologies for Duke, as you know. But having said that, you know, when your ultimate star player goes down in a heap right at the start of the biggest game of the year, I think that can be deflating for that one game regardless. I mean, I think that to an extent that's what happened to him. It's 100% factual that they still have a lot of paper tiger talent, but they did not guard anybody in that game, period. Now, I don't know quite what to make of it. They also reverted back to sort of the old Duke ways. They became an entirely different basketball team. When Zion Williamson's on the court with RJ Barrett, those two guys go to the rim as well as any two players in the country, and that's Williamson at 285. I mean, they will face you up, and they will take you to the rim, and that's what Duke has been so good at all year.
I'm sure Zion was in there. I'm pretty sure that May wouldn't have scored 30 points.
Well, see, that's the other thing. Duke had nobody else who could guard May. The only guy on the roster who could guard May was Williamson. And so when Williamson went out, a lot of that duty fell to R.J. Barrett. And R.J. Barrett is, you know, 6'5", 6'6", and skinny. There's no way he's guarding May in the post. And so that was a big issue as well. You know, it wasn't just the emotional loss. It wasn't just the loss of how it affected Duke's offense. But again, Duke went from being a drive it to the rim team to being a team that shot 39 threes in that game, which is outrageous, and basically didn't make any of them. And then on the defensive end, Zion was an enormous loss because they just had no other body type other than the.
I know Mayhem. Everything he scored under basket, I mean, it was just lay-in. Right. I mean, it wasn't 5-footers or anything like that. He was right. Just laying everything in.
And that's what we're talking about. There was no body type to compete with him, I guess, other than the white kid who's really just not very good.
Right. Well, Walt, I'll call in next week again for some therapy, and all maybe right, by next week I'll get off the list. See
all
you.
Right, Paul, thank you. That's a little better, Paul, a little better call from Paul Romano.
Yeah,
a little more reasonable.
It's a little calm.
Yeah, a little calmer, a little more reasonable. You know, again, it's going to be an interesting stretch drive. No question about it. It all starts tomorrow, and we are to the point of must wins. Obviously, you can't lose to Boston College and think that you're still going to be talking about yourself as a tournament team. So you are to that point in the process. But I think the good news is that three of the five teams you play, you're better than. The question with the fourth team, the last team, is Syracuse. Is are you better than them when the game is played on your home court? You weren't better than them when the game was played on their court, but it was close. And again, going back to that game, my contention in watching that basketball game was that Clemson did not push the ball enough, that they allowed that Clemson, the Syracuse zone, to get set in the half court too often. And so my belief is you have to push it more in that particular game and as the first method of attacking that zone, beat it down the court. Because again, when you allow that zone to get set, they make life very difficult for everybody. They held Louisville to 5 of 28 from 3-point range. They bait you into taking threes that are further out on the court than you realize. That's how they play. They bait you, they lure you. When you watch that zone set up and you watch their length, it's like even when it's tight, even in its natural position, where you are on the court, if you actually look where you are, you're further out than you would normally be to initiate your offense. That's what the Syracuse zone does to you. And so they invite you to take these jump shots and turn it into a jump shooting game. And what you don't realize is instead of being towed up on the line, you're 24 feet out. And your percentage from 24 feet is not going to beat them in a normal game. And that's what they did to Louisville the other night. And that's what they want to do to everybody. And again, there are a myriad of ways to attack the zone. The problem that, look, I'm jumping ahead. I'm jumping ahead to the game that I think is still going to be decisive, and that's the Syracuse game, because I'm assuming Clemson's going to take care of business and the others. And again, I am not surrendering the North Carolina game. I think if North Carolina shoots the ball poorly from 3-point range, Clemson will still have a shot. Look, North Carolina looked really good in that game the other day, but I think a big part of that was Duke's just total lack of defense. I mean, at virtually every spot. And still, North Carolina only shot 2 of 20 from 3-point range. So I'm not discounting the possibility that Clemson could beat North Carolina here. I'm not surrendering that game. But I am perhaps most interested in the Syracuse game because it's still a marquee game. It's a game here that I think is eminently winnable, but I think you're going to have to do certain things to win that game. And as I indicated the other day, you know, Clemson does not have an ideal sweet spot flash player on this roster. That type of guy would have been a Dante Grantham type of guy, because ideally what you're looking for, and for those who don't know, the sweet spot in attacking that zone is right in the middle. It's just below the foul line, right in the middle. 12, 13 feet, right in the middle. And and you flash players, conventionally, you will flash guys to that spot. And you can get the ball in there. The problem is what you do when you get it there. And traditionally, you want a guy, what we used to call a triple threat position, but you want a guy who can hit that shot, put it on the ground, or pass it. Because when that ball is entered into that sweet spot, in a split second, he will be enveloped. And that's why it's hard to flash like a 6'2", 6'3 guy there. If memory serves, there were times in that first game where Clemson flashed Reed to that sweet spot. That's difficult, but Clemson doesn't have a lot of options there because there's no player on this roster that fits the description of the type of player you'd want to flash there. So there's that. But the first way to beat that zone is to beat it down the court. Is to beat it down the court. Don't allow it to set up. And you're not going to do that all game. But what I'm saying is, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for 8 hidden points. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for 4 times in the game you beat the zone down the court and you score, or 6 times in the game you beat the zone down the court and you get 8 points out of that, 9 points out of that, something like that. Those are points you didn't have the first go round. If you get those points, you beat Syracuse. And again, I am jumping ahead. Boston College is next, and this team has to worry about beating Boston College first. Let me tell you about Tom's Barbecue. Brock and Beth Bud Thompson, the original owner. Catering, tailgates, parties, they do it all. You choose any of the 8 sauces. Tom's is just unbelievable. You know, they stayed true to all the original recipes. They added some things that were uniquely their own, like the mac and cheese, which they make from scratch, which is insanely good. John just tried the Cheerwine sauce, the champion, national champion sauce, for the first time the other day. Said it was incredible. They smoke their wings, have it down to a science, smoke them for 2 hours, fry them for 60 seconds, toss them in any of the sauces. Fresh sides and desserts, open Monday to Saturday, 10:30. They cater anytime. Corner of Garlington and Woodruff behind Lowe's. When we get back, we'll have Roadrageous Moments in History.
Hey guys, this is Michael Thacker with Lakeside Lodge Clemson sales team. If you haven't heard about this project yet, you need to know about it. Lakeside Lodge is Clemson's first condo hotel opening this fall. We still have studios, 2 bedrooms, and 3 bedroom condos available, but they are selling fast. Call us today at 864-775-5500 to schedule a visit. You'll want to be part of this. Visit us at our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard to secure your spot today.
All superheroes. Do you wish there was a way to make extra money while helping others in need? Now is your chance. BioTest Plasma Center in Clemson is seeking plasma donors who will be compensated for their time and travel. New donors can earn $50 on each of their first 5 donations. Repeat donors earn up to $310 a month. Walk-ins welcome. Become a superhero and save lives. Schedule your appointment and get more info at BioTestPlasma.com. Again, that's BioTestPlasma.com.
Hello?
Good morning, Ms. Garner. This is your wake-up call.
Oh, thank you. While I have you on the phone, did you know that with the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase?
I did not.
Think about it. Unlimited double miles on everything you buy, not just airline purchases.
That is a great deal.
So, I guess we should call this your wake-up call from Capital One.
Feels like I should have seen that coming. Speaking of which, I should probably get back to work.
Oh, of course. But before you go, can I ask, what's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USANA.
This is Coach Dan. Leave me a message.
Hi, this is Sharon and Debbie calling about our son's Little League team, the Cockroaches.
Blech.
I don't know where you're from, but around here we call them palmetto bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't use them as sports mascots. We use Terminix to get rid of them.
Sure do.
Terminix is the best when it comes to pest control. We wouldn't trust anyone else, right, Deb?
So right.
So maybe rethink the name. We vote for the Tigers.
Go Orange!
5 out of 5 baseball moms trust Terminix for pest protection. Call 1-800-TERMINIX to schedule your service.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
No one's better than Walt's Abdullah. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
Excuse you, mister.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We're going to encourage your contributions when this Road Rageous moment from history segment is over. It is time then, Ramona, for Road Rageous moments from sports history.
Road Rage and 105.5 The Roar bring you Road Rageous moments in history with Walt Deptula.
Today's an anniversary of sorts, which works perfectly with this segment, because 39 years ago today, in the Winter Olympics at Lake Placid, New York, something miraculous occurred. The 1980 U.S. Olympic team, led by an ornery character named Herb Brooks as head coach. Brooks had played in two Olympics. He was the final cut from the 1960 team. That's significant because the last U.S. team to win the gold medal in hockey was the 1960 U.S. Olympic team. It all began in the 1979 World Championships. Omnipotent USSR team embarrassed the NHL All-Stars 6-0 to win a challenge series. Further defining their eliteness. Further defining how great they were. They also had arguably the greatest goalie in sports in hockey history. And Vladimir Tretiak. The USSR had all the ofs, all the OVSs. They had Krutov and Mikhailov and Petrov and Karlamov. They had all the ofs. No one was thought to have any real chance. But Herb Brooks was a ruthless person. He put a team together from hundreds of rival prospects, players that had competed against each other in college, many of them from just two states. He employed psychological testing to see what those players were made of. He put them through 4 months of living hell in a string of exhibition games throughout North America and Europe. His goal was to make them stronger, to make them better, or to break them. Brooks tried to make his players unite against him. He wanted them to put their rivalries aside and gain a single purpose. And he did that through psychological ploy. He knew that's what it would take. He told them that they weren't any good. He told them that they weren't tough, that they weren't near tough enough. He told them that they weren't fast enough. He told them that they weren't worthy. There was frequent shouting. There were physical confrontations. Brooks challenged them in every way, psychologically, physically. This was old school. This was a Bobby Knight style of hockey coach. And he was the taskmaster. He did not let up. So much so that in an article by Jamie Fitzpatrick in Thought Co., Jamie quotes these two players. Mike Ramsey said that Brooks messed with our minds at every opportunity. Years later, Michael Ruzioni, the team captain, said, if Herb came into my house today, it would still be uncomfortable. Years later, this is the degree that Brooks drove them to. Brooks knew the game. He was a chess master at the game. He knew that he needed to find ways to get more speed on the ice, that the only hope they had was to become a faster hockey team. And so he had players change positions from their natural position. He realigned guys. He knew that he needed speed, that speed would be the key if they were to have any chance to compete. The Americans were huge underdogs. But Brooks wasn't completely unarmed. A lot of these guys went on to play in the National Hockey League. They weren't just some college scrubs that Brooks put together. They were chosen carefully for a myriad of reasons. But the American team was not without talent. The American team had significant talent, just not Soviet-level talent. Brooks told his team that, and the public, that a bronze medal was possible. That if they played really well, that they might have a chance to achieve a bronze medal. We'll never know for sure. I don't know whether Brooks ever addressed that in the remainder of his life, but it's quite conceivable that that was just more ploy. Or maybe that's what he believed at the time, and there was reason to believe it. No one believed that the U.S. was going to win gold in Lake Placid. That was not possible. In a pre-Olympic game, they played the Soviet Union. They got dominated 10-3, crushed, destroyed, beaten down. This is the one occasion in which Brooks, rather than directing his anger and venom toward the team, blamed himself. Brooks took the onus of this. He blamed himself for it. He said that the fail was his, that he was too conservative in his game plan, that maybe he was afraid of all that Soviet speed and that they didn't do a good enough job forechecking and that type of stuff. When the games of Lake Placid actually began, the U.S. needed a last-second goal to tie Sweden. But that last-second goal in tying Sweden at 2 may have provided the impetus for the magic that followed. The U.S. then destroyed Czechoslovakia 7-3. They beat Norway. They beat Romania. But Norway and Romania weren't teams that were thought to provide that big a challenge anyway. But at the very least, the U.S. had gained momentum. They were feeling better about themselves. They then came from behind to beat Germany in a game that really provided them additional spark, additional momentum. The problem was that on the other side of the group, the mighty Soviets went unbeaten in their group. And unfortunately for the U.S., the group standings dictated that the U.S. first opponent in the medal round would be the Soviets. The game began against the mighty Soviets, and the Soviets dominated early. The entire first period, they pressed, they attacked. Jim Craig, the American goalie, was under incredible duress. He wasn't getting enough help. But somehow, Craig stood tall through that first period. And as the first period was coming to a close, the U.S. trailed only 2-1. One thing that had happened early on that did not happen in the 10-3 game was the forechecking was much more aggressive. The Americans were not going to be run over again. They were not going to be run over on their home turf in Lake Placid. This was not going to be a 10-3 final as it was the first time they met. Craig's heroics kept the U.S. in contact. They trailed 2-1 late in period one. There would be no intimidation on this day. The U.S. would not succumb in the manner that they did before. With time almost out in the first period, the legendary goaltender failed. He did not control a rebound. And when he lost control of that rebound off a slap shot by Dave Christian, Mark Johnson scored off the rebound in the waning seconds of the first period. After review, it was learned that the goal was good. At the end of one period, we were tied. The game was tied 2-2 at the end of one. The U.S. team was not here to lay down. At that point, the Soviets pulled their legendary goaltender, a decision that would be questioned for years. But the second period was more of the same. It was just the Soviets outclassing the U.S. They were too fast. They were too good. They dominated the entire second period. They hit Craig with a barrage of shots. The entire second period was played on the U.S. end. There really was no chance. This really was impossible. The U.S. had only two shots in the second period. When Alexander Maltsev scored on a breakaway to give the Soviets a 3-2 lead, it still looked like this would end badly for the Americans. The only good news was, despite being thoroughly outplayed for two periods, the score wasn't 8-3 or 9-3. It was just 3-2. And it's at the start of the third period where the Soviets made their last fateful error. They went with their veteran players. What had kept them ahead was the young players. But another bad decision to go with their veteran players in the third period eventually led to their undoing. Because for the first time in the game against the mighty Soviets, the speed that Brooks recruited, developed, and worked on came into play. In the third period, the U.S. was the faster team. Mark Johnson scored off a power play miscue by the Soviets to tie it. With 10 minutes left, team captain, and perhaps the least talented player on the team, Mike Ruzioni, intercepted a clearing pass and drove a slap shot past Mishkin, the backup goaltender, for a 4-3 U.S. lead. There were 10 minutes left. 10 minutes to try and hold on against what many believe was the greatest hockey team in history. Ramona.
43 seconds remaining. Morrow checked into the boards. It comes back to center ice. 38, 37 seconds left in the game. Petrov with it. The Americans on top, 4-3. Long shot. Craig able to get a piece of it to sweep it away. 28 seconds. The crowd going insane. Karlamov shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. Vigilantinov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. A 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
What many have forgotten is that that actually wasn't for gold. The U.S. still had to come off of that incredibly emotional performance, the impossible, and play Finland. And after two periods, the U.S. trailed Finland 2-1, flat through two periods. And Finland was very good. At the end of the second period, before the third period began, Herb Brooks, one more time, said to his team, "This will haunt you the rest of your lives." If you can't finish this. And in the third period against Finland, the U.S. responded as they had and outscored Finland 3-0. And history was sealed. Arguably the greatest impossible, most impossible athletic achievement in the history of this country, as it's become known, Miracle on Ice, the 1980 U.S. Olympic team. Their names were Craig and Janizek and Baker and Christian and Kenny Morrow, who went on to play with the New York Islanders, and Jack O'Callaghan and Mike Ramsey and Bob Suter. Neil Broughton, who went on to play in the National Hockey League, and Steve Kristoff, and Captain Mike Ruzioni, John Harrington, Mark Johnson, who was instrumental, absolutely instrumental, two goals against the Soviets, Rob McClanahan, Mark Pavlovich, Buzz Snyder, Dave Silk, Eric Strobel, Phil Vrchata, Mark Wells, the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. Did you see it? Where were you? Do you remember it? I'm interested in hearing about it. Walter Petula, Road Rage. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Carolina Heating Service has the power to keep the upstate comfortable with the most innovative products and an award-winning team of technicians. Kick off the new year with a free water heater when you purchase a new HVAC system. If your HVAC unit is needing replaced, chances are your water heater is ready too. Why not do both? Call us for an in-home estimate and let us know you heard it on WCCP The Roar. Free water heater is only for a limited time. Call us today. Carolina Heating Service, 864-232-5684 or online at carolinaheating.com.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is the home of the lifetime warranty. At Granger Nissan, we are all about family, so we are looking for a play ball kid for every Clemson weekend home game. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson to register your kid. You don't have to do anything, and nobody's going to pressure you into buying a car. Simply come by and register your kid to stand at home plate and shout play ball. You'll get 4 tickets to the game, and your family and your kid will get an experience they will always remember. Granger Nissan of Anderson, proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
Prepare to have your mind blown by Coke Zero Sugar with great Coke taste laser.
Can we cut all that? That's not going to convince anyone. Coke Zero is now Coke Zero Sugar with great Coke taste. Some people were excited to hear the news. Some were skeptical. And none of this noise is going to convince you that Coke Zero Sugar has great Coke taste, because the only thing that'll make you believe that is trying it yourself.
And the lasers!
No, no lasers. Ice cold Coke Zero Sugar. Try one today.
Listen closely. This is the sound of transformation. The sound of digging deep and doing what you didn't think was possible. It's happening now at the YMCA of Easley Pickens in Powdersville. Equipment, Programs, instruction, friends. The Y is so much more. Special new member discounts are available for a limited time.
Go on the drive of your life with a Founders Auto Loan. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, great terms and rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online and fast, friendly service. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com or visit our Clemson office to see if you qualify for membership. Go on the drive of your life. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
You know, there is a fine line between being eccentric and being rude.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Cousin Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher.
Walked up to the Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. The segment continues to be received really well. In fact, Texture 313 wants me to do it every day. No, once a week, and it is at the regular time. We do it on Thursdays every week, and this week I wanted to give people a chance to respond to this a little bit. John in Due West wrote, "Bravo, Walt. I felt like I was going there again. I got goosebumps listening to your description of the Miracle on Ice. I remember it like it was yesterday." Texas says, "I was 5 years old growing up in Pennsylvania, an old coal mining town. All the houses connected to mine. I can hear them all roar like it was yesterday." No, Texas asked, "Were these college or NHL players? You mentioned one of them going on to play with the Islanders. It made me curious." No, many of them went on to play in the National Hockey League, but they were all college players at the time. Another texter writes, "If that doesn't give you a chill, nothing will." Texture 314, "Allergies are acting up while cutting onions over here. While I'm not crying, you're crying." That's from Will and Anderson. You want to get in. Here's what I want to know. If you saw it, if you were there for it, where were you? What do you remember? You know, it's astonishing, Ramona, because for a sport that is a secondary sport in this country, that has a niche, but it's still a secondary sport. It's considered one of the main sports, but it's like a private club, the NHL. It's not, hockey is still just a niche sport. It hasn't done anything to significantly grow itself in any way, shape, or form. But it's interesting that the most memorable moment in amateur sport history in this country was served up by a bunch of college hockey players.
You think because it was Russia?
I think that's an enormous part of it. It was a time that things weren't going well in this country. And we were sort of united against the great evil that we still viewed, the Cold War era evil that we still viewed as the Soviets. You know, it was that. It was the red uniforms of the Soviets. It was all those things. It was everything that this country opposes was represented there. So there was certainly an enormous element of nationalism, patriotism at play. There's no question about that. I want you to get in on the phone lines. Get in 654-7627, 654-7627. Tell me where you were. If you saw it, if you were living, what you remember, who you were watching it with, what it was like, all those things. Because there are very few moments in history that you recollect where you were, what you were doing. And quite honestly, most of those are tragedies. Like if people were alive when Kennedy was shot, people remember that. 9/11. We remember where we were, what we were doing. Most of the others are tragedies. There are, other than a team you follow. I'm not talking about, you know, if you're a Clemson fan and you won the national championship. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about from a national perspective. I don't think there's ever been anything of this kind. I'm not sure there ever will be again. Texas says, well, I remember it like I was yesterday. You're bringing me back to my youth. People today don't understand the USSR. Yeah, I mean, that was a big part of it, certainly. That was a big part of it. Texas said, I didn't see Miracle on Ice. Wasn't born until 93, but I've seen the movie Miracle. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, sends chills down my spine. Right, that, or, you know, going back to watch it. Because, again, we have a myriad of ways today, even if you didn't see it originally, that you could have gone back and seen it. I thought this was a little different than some of the others we've done, because this was, you know, not everybody got to see Secretariat run. Not everybody was at that race. But even though we weren't all physically at Lake Placid, if you were alive, you were there. It's hard to explain, but... but you were there in spirit. Let me get to some of these calls. Margaret, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Margaret. Good to have you.
Thank you. Other than the fabulous win, what I remember is Jim Craig and his father.
Right. That's a good point.
The hugs and the emotional part of that. That was special.
Yeah, I remember he was wrapped in the flag as he skated around the ice. Yeah.
Yes, and found his dad.
And found his dad. Yeah, he was saying out loud, "Where's my dad? Where's my dad?"
Yeah. So that was the second part I remembered, other than the fabulous win.
Yeah,
thank you,
Margaret. That's a great call on your part. You know, those kind of calls, I'm looking for those kind of calls. I'm looking for what your remembrances were, what you recollect from that moment, And obviously for all of us, it was Al Michaels' call of Do You Believe in Miracles? The perfect call. A call that didn't seem pre-hashed, preconceived. It seemed very much spur of the moment. It was Al Michaels' greatest moment. In a legendary career with so many legendary calls and so much absolute professionalism, which Al Michaels has always delivered on, his greatest moment came in our greatest moment. Andrew says, I was 10 years old in a ski lodge in North Carolina. The entire hotel was going nuts. I think that was the first beer I ever drank. It was awesome. Let's go to Rick. Rick, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Appreciate you getting in.
I remember I had just gotten married a few months before and had moved into a $125 a month duplex apartment. And remember screaming, of course you could hear everybody in the other part of the duplex because of the paper thin walls at $125 a month. But I actually learned the rules of hockey during that tournament by watching all the tournament, learning what icing was and offsides was and those things. But it was something you never forget.
Yeah, and that's another good point. See, so people were brought into it who weren't conventional hockey viewers, and yet they during the course of the tournament. Did learn the rules and became totally absorbed in it. Yeah, you're 100% right.
Amazing.
Excellent job, Rick. Thank you. Exactly what I'm looking
for. Thank you.
Yeah, again, I want more of this. I want to know where you were, if you were alive, if you were watching it, even if you watched it since, you know, your feelings about it. But in the moment, it was the greatest moment in American sport amateur history. It was the ultimate foil. It was the college kids of the U.S. versus the mighty Soviet machine that was said to be invincible. And again, in a preliminary game prior to the Olympic Games, the Soviets had blasted us 10-3. 10-3. That's how impossible it was. Is that Bucci, Ramona? Bucci, how are you?
Great. Well, just calling in. Much like your previous caller, I was a newlywed, 4 months, and I was in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. It is the only hockey game I've ever watched.
How about that?
So I don't have a lot to relate as far as the hockey goes, but it was some more wave of nationalism that swept the country immediately after that, because like you said, it was the good versus the evil. And we had no chance, basically. The only two names I really remember were Ruzioni and Craig.
Right.
But I'm a former history teacher, and I still believe that it had something to do with the wave of nationalism that swept the country in the 80s after that.
It may be.
I mean, you know, it's hard to relate sports to real things like history sometimes, but I do believe it had a lot to do with what happened with the Reagan years and all that, and a new sense of pride in being from the United States.
Yeah, that's actually a fascinating element, Bucci, and you may be 100% right, because it did lead us into a better time in an era where people felt better about themselves, and that may have been the jumping off point for that.
Right, but it was a great moment in sports. I'm an avid sports fan, and have been to all three Clemson national championship games, and quite a Clemson fan, obviously, but nothing compares to that night in 1980.
See, that's exactly what I'm talking
about. Thank you, Walt.
Thank you, Bucci. And by the way, one last thing. Are you gone? No. You know, he said it was the only hockey game he ever watched. I'm sort of curious as to whether that's still the case. You know, whether that was the last hockey game he had ever watched. I'm sort of guessing it might have been. Texter writes, thank you, Walt. That was awesome. Capital letters. Tears of joy streaming down as I'm trying to drive home. Look, that's what I want. I want to know where you were, because, again, this is the one real positive moment that I can think of from, you know, 100 years of sports history, that everyone who witnessed it remembers where they watched it, who they were with. It's just one of those things. It like I said before, we remember all the tragedies. We remember those terrible moments in our history. But this is one of the few truly joyous, joyful moments. The sort of impossible dream of sports, and again, made that much better by Al Michaels' astonishing call of the event as well. Let me get Craig in here. I still want your calls. I want your calls. I want to know where you were. I want to know what you were thinking about. I want to know how it impacted you, who you were watching with, what you remember, what items about it, what are your lasting memories of it? Craig.
Walter.
Craig, how are you?
How you doing? You know, I almost missed that. You believe that? I was on traveling, so oh my God, it's almost 4:20 Walter on, so I got in right about 3/4 of it.
I'm glad.
And you did catch the fact that it wasn't the gold medal game. I'm thinking that as I'm going. You know, I'm thinking most people don't even realize that wasn't the gold medal game.
No.
Okay, you know where I watched that game? I watched that game actually in Elizabeth's living room where I was dating her. I was by myself for the first two periods because her and her mother are not really sports fans. They're in the kitchen doing woman things. And about halfway through the third period, they were curious. So this comes out, and I don't remember if we were winning at the time or water. I might have been tied. And they actually sat down, started watching the game with me. And at the end of the game, I actually got up. My mother-in-law, we hugged each other and gave each other high fives. That might be the only sports event my mother-in-law has ever watched. It might be the only time I ever high-fived her either, but yeah, that's exactly where I was. At Liz's house in Carmel, New York. Carmel, New York. Yeah, I remember that extinct. There's lots of things I remember. Like when Munson died, I knew where I was. But yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday. And I'm not, you know, I'm kind of cynical and that kind of stuff. But yeah, beating the Russians at that time, the Big Red Machine was awesome. That was the true Big Red Machine, not the Reds.
That's true.
But yeah, I remember that. Yep. Carmel, New York. I was dating Elizabeth. I'll see you soon. Like I said, I might hit the combines. If I do, I'll take pictures and call you from the combine.
Sounds
okay?
Good, Craig. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. We don't want to get into that. She was still in high school stuff. Because we don't know how old you were. But but yeah, I mean, it was just, it truly was, as it's been dubbed, Miracle on Ice. It was the impossible. It was everything that we are against everything that they were. And it was still the hangover effect of it was the Cold War era. It was all that. It was even the red uniforms they wore, which just to us sort of screamed who they were and why we hated them. Let me tell you about Lakeside Lodge Clemson. I still want your calls. Lakeside Lodge Clemson's a new condo hotel under construction on Lake Hartwell. Pricing starts in the mid-200s. Financing's available. It's located on Highway 123 right across the lake from Clemson. Taj has done a new spot in which he's indicated that that you have to act, that the number of units left is really dwindling. And so there are still choice units available in all three, in a mix of all three sizes, studio, two-bedroom, three-bedroom. But you have to act. You can't just keep putting it off because your chances are running out. The resort will include a restaurant, lobby bar, food service, pool and hot tub, walking pass, fire pit, meeting space, fitness facilities, small-scale football field, expansive outdoor area for tailgating on game days, modified hotel services such as housekeeping and maintenance. Go see Taj, 906 Tiger Boulevard, right next to Ruby Tuesday. Tell them I sent you. Justin, you're up first when we get back. We'll be right back.
Another hour of great sports talk from the Priority One Security Studios. We are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville, 105.5, The Roar.
Springtime is almost here. It's the perfect time to tackle the next job on your list. And AutoZone has the free services to help you do it, like our free battery testing. If you're having trouble starting your car, come to AutoZone. We'll test your battery for free so you can figure out the problem from the get-go, which means no waste of money on parts you don't need. Seeing the road better starts with great deals at AutoZone. Get a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy two Bosch Envision wiper blades. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
J. Grady Randolph is hiring. Specializing in flatbed hauling since 1935, JGR has deep roots in the Carolinas and proudly supports the Clemson Tigers. Start your new career today by calling 864-761-4041. J. Grady Randolph offers competitive pay and free family health care coverage. Local and regional positions available. Call 864-761-4041 or get more information online at driveforjgr.com. That's driveforjgr.com.
Are you tired of eating?